Our next speaker and last of the list of the GW8 speakers is Esther from the Philippines. Esther? I should mention that Esther has just recently been awarded the Sustainable Energy Prize by the Ashton Foundation, the Ashton Sustainable Energy Prize.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Esther Inalulik-Nachan of the Save the Ifugao Teresas Movement in the Philippines. The Philippines is situated in Southeast Asia, and it is one of the poorest countries in the region. Ifugao is situated at the northern part of the country, and it is also one of the poorest provinces in our country. However, it is significant that it is a World Heritage Site and an important watershed to one of the biggest dams in the Philippines, and that is the Magat Dam. My discussion would be limited to the Ifugao experience and some of my observations at the national level, involving climate change and its impact on the lives of the people. If we recall, in the late 90s, Asia experienced the severe economic crisis, and this also was true in the Philippines. Lots of foreign businesses were scampering out of Asia that left most of the people unemployed and double poor. And this is a man-made phenomenon. Secondly, the wrath of nature did not escape us because the country was into the El Nino phenomenon, another of the phenomena that we did not understand at that time. A lot of our lands experienced severe drought, and poor farmers had the most of the negative effects. Flash floods also came in. Examples are the Ormoc tragedy, wherein about 5,000 people died because of that one flash flood in Leyte. The recent flash floods that visited us were that of the Aurora flash floods, the Quezon province flash floods, and that in the central Luzon, which affected mostly the lives of poor people who are located in these provinces. Ifugao was not spared with this, as we had monsoon rains, typhoons, and the rest that contributed also to having small flash floods in our country, in our province. And in all of this, the most vulnerable are the poor people. Another point is that of energy crisis. I would like to focus on energy crisis because it is one of the relevant works that we have undertaken that can be demonstrated to be one of the alternative sources of energy and which can be replicated in some communities that are suitable to this, to microhydro projects and other forms of renewables. During the Asian economic crisis, we started also with the energy crisis in the Philippines. And there was constant blackouts, which meant that there were constant blackouts, and also the economic lives of the poor people were affected. Because most of the farmers are the only people which are in contact with the land. They are the ones in touch, per se, with the lands. They are the ones who felt the impact of climate change. Examples are the small-scale land-based agriculture. In Ifugao, we had the terraces. And during the El Nino and during the La Nina, we felt the effect on the rice. If there is drought, then we could not produce sufficient rice for our subsistence. The same is true when there is too much water. In the cornlands, in the lowlands, those that produce corn, they have invested so much for the seeds, the fertilizers, and everything that goes with the corn. And during the drought, they were left to be indebted to people who lend money and the agricultural inputs. That is same true with the vegetable producing provinces like that of Benguet, which is situated in the Cordillera administrative region where we belong. Most of the vegetable farmers also felt the negative impacts of climate change whenever there is a change in the temperature, whenever it rains so much, or whenever there is no more rain. With the livestock and water-based agriculture, when there is rain, salinity increases, and it affects their lives and their produce. That is also true when it rains a lot. And this phenomenon, we cannot really explain to them because it is so complex and complicated. But the one thing that people experience from this is that they are poor and they become double poor, doble pobre. In the energy sector, the constant blackouts generally affected all people, but the poor suffered more as they have no alternatives. There is decreased working hours in factories, and when you do not work, you have no pay, and the economic repercussions are great. There is increased prices of basic commodities. Just like now, we have experienced the increased prices of basic commodities. In the energy that we pay double. In transportation, we add more. But there is not much production from the land-based or the water-based or in industry. So I think people are experiencing a lot of economic crisis because of these changes. The CITMO, where I work in, it's a small NGO. It's a small voice in Ifugao, have promoted the sustainable energy projects in our province. Sometimes government cannot give in to the needs of the people. They cannot support because they don't have the funding for these projects. Now, my NGO's concept on sustainable energy is that there is the availability of the alternative energy sources at the local level. People's access and control over environment, and these are friendly energy sources. People are not dependent on power utilities, which are the ones that generate and distribute power, and the use of environment-friendly and socially acceptable technologies. And there is people participation in the technology development and decision-making. And there is the link between energy use and natural resource preservation. So those were the concepts of PRRM. With the promotion of sustainable energy, remote rural communities avail of energy that answer basic local needs like lighting, agri-processing, and water supply. Small gains can be made in helping income-generating projects, and there are clean energy promoted with the Environmental Protection Development Program, and local skills are tapped and developed for some fabrication and operation of the system. That's what we demonstrated in the past since 2001. And actually, it began in the 90s but scaled up in 2000. What is urgently needed? What is urgently needed in sustainable generating and fabricating energy through the microhydro projects and other renewables? It is the technological support, wherein there are different kinds of renewable energy projects that are based on and are innovated based on the site, and it trainings on technicalities are also needed. There is also need for formal linkages with other local NGOs, the academies, and non-government as well as government line agencies for support, and field exchanges for cooperators of sustainable energy is needed. On the institutional development, social preparation is a key to the project's success, with emphasis on productive use of energy generated. And another much needed for the institutional development is funding for future projects. We have demonstrated that these small renewables can work in rural areas. It can be done if we have the will. Other large renewables may work in urban areas, but some people should look into this. In CITMO, we understand that the interplay of nature and development, if we have no forest, we have no water. If we have no water, we have no rice terraces. If we don't have the rice terraces, I don't know where will the Ifugao people go. What we do at the uplands, what we do in Ifugao, greatly affects the lives of people downstream. It affects the dam, it affects the people of those that generate from income from the dam. We may be a small voice in Ifugao, but we have big hopes that our leaders would listen, leaders at the provincial and the national level. I am appealing to you, please help us by doing your part. Be a small voice too. We teach, we advocate, we lobby so that we can mitigate the negative impacts of global warming, and climate change. Thank you, and mabuhay.
Thank you, Esther.